morning, everyone. Good to have everyone here this morning. We appreciate you for being here with us this morning. We're so thankful for the Lord and His goodness. We're grateful for the opportunity to come and spend time with you this morning. We want to emphasize this morning what we'll be going into next. So later on, at the end of the service, I'll show you where we're going to be going next as far as the reading of the scripture and what's going to be happening. We're excited this morning about our baptism. It's always exciting to take some time to reflect on how the reasons for it, why do we do it. So we're excited about that. We definitely want the church to remain here and join in that service with us when we get to that portion of it. Today we're going to finish. I've been saying, sort of making mention of this for quite some time. We're going to finish the series today. Whether if I got to keep you here till this afternoon, we're going to finish it today. So we'll see how everything goes. But we want to take some time to look at this and see, will it do today? If not, we'll just let you follow along on the main screen. If it doesn't do, we won't work. So we've been in this Galatians series, and dealing in this Galatians series has been quite the I didn't even begin to realize or think how long it would take to do the Galatians series, but here we are all this time, and we're just getting to the end of it. So last year, almost a year ago, we started this series concerning understanding Galatians in light of Torah. The Torah is the first five books of the Bible, understanding it in light of that. So once you read, so obviously if it's in light of that, you have to read that. We had been, before we started this, we had been reading those texts for a few years. We had been going into the portions and reading them and understanding the text, what it said. And then we looked at Galatians, the Apostle Paul is the writer in Galatians, and obviously he brought up some very important issues concerning his thoughts on whether or not we'd understand the difference between salvation through Christ alone. And he knew there was going to be some issues. So when the church had started to expand and grow and was being spoken to the Gentiles also, the Pharisees group came and said that you have to be circumcised in order to be saved. So that was an issue. Paul said no, they said yes, and they had to settle that argument. And it had become a pretty strong argument for those who were for circumcision, which obviously came from those that were under the law. But I often thought about this, and I didn't mention it, but I want to mention it this morning. I remember when Jesus rebuked the Pharisees. He called them stiff-necked. So I wouldn't take a lot of things they say. I wouldn't take it to heart. And I think Paul was trying to emphasize that. This group had, they have been keepers of the Torah, keepers of the commandments, but they had soon started keeping more traditional thoughts than the things that God had actually said. I believe what Paul did in Galatians, he says, okay, what we're going to do is take you back to what God said. And that's been our whole goal. We look at Scripture, we want to teach you and share with you what God said. If He didn't say it, there's no need to be talking about it here. And so that's some of the things we're going to be looking at, and hopefully that it'll minister to your life and then touch your heart, and that's what we want. We want God's Word to become real to you. So we'll take some time and look at this this series. I believe it'll be a help to you. So we're going to start, I think it starts in Matthew, and we'll go from there. Matthew 25, there we go. Matthew 25, where we left off. And I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to bring up, let me just go back to the last couple of scripture we read. And it says here, and I'll catch back up, but I'm just do a little bit review for you. In Galatians 6, verse 7, Galatians 6, verse 7, be not deceived. Elohim is not mocked. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. It's a principle of life. What a man sows, he reaps. It's a very simple principle, and even Jesus mentioned that to us about this principle. Paul emphasized it quite often. If you take seed, and say it's orange seeds, and you plant orange seeds, can you expect a banana tree? It's absolutely crazy to think that. You reap what you sow. So if you reap, back on this scripture, if you reap to the flesh, you only give the flesh what it wants, the Bible says you reap corruption. That's a simple process. But if you sow to the Spirit, meaning you allow the Spirit of God to communicate with your spirit, and he teaches you what we need to do. How do we do it? He said, if you do that, you'll reap life everlasting. Now, I don't know about you, but it's not hard to choose which one I would like. Corruption or life everlasting? Because that's the choices we have. He said in Deuteronomy, he said, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Then he gives us the answer. He says, choose life. Well, the life he's talking about is not this life. You know what he talks about in this life? He said, this life is like a vapor. It's like vapor. How many knows what vapor is? I remember when I was a kid living on Tiger Pass, but my grandma, she used to have a kettle. And she'd make tea. She put that on the wood stove and set it there. And when I first saw it, I was fascinated by it because you could set it on a stove, and it was an iron stove, so there was no flame. The flame was in it, and I knew it was in it, but she would just set it there. And it didn't take long. You didn't see no fire or anything. All of a sudden, the steam would come out of it and it whistle. I know that's old school, but we saw it. We heard it would whistle. And when it would whistle, what would make it whistle is the steam would start coming out of a little hole. But it didn't fill the house with smoke, because it's just there for a little while, and then it kind of vanishes away. He said, that's what life is. When he's talking about this life, he said, it's like vapor. You got it for a little while, and then it goes away. Well, some days, you wish it was a lot shorter than other days, because some days are tough. And it seems like some days are forever. When this day ends, I'll be glad. We think that, but he looks at the overall. We look at our circumstance, our situation, but he looks at the overall of life. We got one shot at it. And he says, choose life. It's not this life that's a vapor, but it's in this life that you get to choose. Every person here in this life right now, you get to choose. You can decide if you reap corruption. That means to die forever. There's nothing happy about that. To die forever. Or life. And he's talking about resurrected life. Isn't that powerful? Resurrected life. That's important. So this principle, it works for us. Then he went on and said, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary, because sometimes you can get weary in doing what? Doing well, and well doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. How do you guarantee to reap? If you faint not. That's the guarantee. If you faint not, there's going to be some tough times, but if you faint not, you're going to reap. That's a promise. And so this is what we talked about last week and leading into it, and I didn't finish it. I thought I was going to finish last week. We didn't finish it, so I'm going to go through back to Matthew here so we can find a spot that we can stop and give you the introduction to the next series, okay? So Matthew 25, verse 31, let's read it. He said, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, notice the emphasis is his glory. There's a difference between God's glory and his glory. His glory is a given glory. It's a glory that he obtained because he was willing to come in the volume of the book by his own admission to do thy will, O God. I'm not here for me. I'm here for you, and I'm going to do it the way you asked me to do it. So he said, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him. Now that's the event that will take place at the end of this age. The holy angels with him. Notice what he says. Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. When is he going to sit on the throne? When he comes. So think about that. So what our reference is the throne in Jerusalem. He's going to sit on that throne. So I want you to think about that. And before him shall be gathered all nations. All nations will be gathered. And he shall separate them from one another as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. Think about that. He shall separate and divide them from the sheep and the goats. He's going to do that. There's going to be a... What is that? What is this referencing? This is a reference, or it's wording, is going to be some type of judgment. Because he's going to separate people. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goat on his left hand. There's significance in the right hand and the left hand also. Where was Jesus seated when it comes to the Father? That is what? His own right hand. If Jesus was sat at his own right hand, and Ephesians 1 says this, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. If I stopped right there, that would be a great story all by itself. But it didn't stop there. Far above. All principalities, powers, might, dominion, every name that's named, gave him, Christ, to be head of the church. But he didn't stop there. There's something that there was some exchange that took place. Because Christ says, I'm the head, but my body is raised with me. Think about that. And because he goes on to say, which is his body, the fullness that filleth all in all. So we have to understand that there's a body that's connected to the head. And Brother Josh made reference to that earlier, hence our talk that we'll have next Sunday. The body, if we're part of the body of Christ, then whatever the body does, its function, it represents the what? The head. And how many know we ought to represent him well? We ought to represent him well. We definitely don't want to bring a reproach to the head. Should we bring a reproach to the head? By the way we live, the way we speak, the way we act? Our disposition, should we bring a reproach to the head? No. So we want to make sure that we do everything that we can. So this is a valuable lesson that we're seeing here. If he was set at the right hand and it was significant, could Jesus be given any more authority and power than God gave him? He gave it every. He said it on his own right hand. That's the highest position that can ever be given to someone that God brought into existence. And let's not forget, he brought him into existence, hence the birth narratives. You can't get more power and more of an award than being at the right hand. What is he going to do with the sheep? Right hand. I don't have time to go in that whole teaching there, but maybe later on at some point we can come back and look at that, or one of the guys here can pick up on that and minister that. Then shall the king say to them on the right hand, this is the right hand, come ye blessed of my Father. Who's going to say that? The king. Who's the king? Yeshua is the king. He says, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit. How many of you know when you get told inherit, it's just something to get excited about? If you've ever been at a reading of a will of someone, and you're sitting there and the lawyer's going to read the will, and he's going to talk about who's going to inherit what? You want your name to be one that's spoken of, right? You're sitting there and you got money, there's money on the table, and they say, okay, in the will, you inherit this much. When your name is mentioned and it's got an inherit, you know what that means. How many understand I don't have to break out Webster's to let you know what inherit means? Everybody in here knows. You know when it's yours. Well, guess what? He said, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom, prepare for you from the foundation of the world. So if you wonder, how amazing God is. You think about, you read his goodness, and he's preparing this from the foundation of the world. This is not going to be some slouch party. It's not going to be some celebrity celebration. They got nothing on this. I don't care if it's red carpet, all the gown. Listen, I was thinking, they got nothing on what the Father's been preparing from the foundation of the world. Now, if he's prepared it from then, to him it's a big deal. Here's the issue. The job of the church is to try to get folks to see how big a deal it is. And you get invited to it. Some of you here may never be invited to some celebrity celebration. That would hurt our hearts, wouldn't it? But you want, you know, some folks are really caught up in this, and amen, they're popular, they're famous, they get to go to these balls. There's one being prepared for you from the foundation of the world. There's nothing political about it. There's nobody gets looked over. There's not a minority or majority. He looks at every person equally, and he says, whosoever will, if you want to be at this one, you can be there. How incredible is that? If you want to be there, it doesn't matter how much money you got, who you know, none of that. We're all straight, clean before him. He said we're all naked before him. We can't put our suits on and it makes us better. Do you think this is a qualifier? This don't qualify you for anything. I'm just so happy to be the one speaking today. What qualifies me is that I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior, the one who died and paid the price so I can have this opportunity. And I believe that with my whole heart. That what he did at Calvary was enough. And what we're talking about, the Pharisees said it's not enough. You must do something in order to gain salvation. You must be circumcised. Paul said, no, it's not so. So we're dealing with that. Now watch what he says in Matthew as he continues. Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was and hunger, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. Notice that. When you're doing that, is that stuff you do? I'm going to read it again. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. There's stuff that we do once you get saved. It becomes a part of you. All of a sudden, you meet somebody, and you do something. Not because you're being a good person. Good people do a lot of things all the time. There's people who work in soup kitchens all over, but they don't know Christ. There's a difference that he's wanting us to know. He said the difference is first you receive Christ, and when you do these wonderful works, they become amazing to you. It's what sets you apart. And that's what we should be doing. Yeah, we see in the church many times, some of the most rude people attend church. There's an issue there. Why are we like that? But we don't want to hear this message, right? Preach me happy this morning, Pastor. I come here to hear a happy message. But we can't be rude. We shouldn't act certain ways. And so he's trying to tell us that. Especially if you're the sheep on the right hand. For I was hungry and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison, you came to me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Master, when saw we thee a hunger and fed thee, or thirsty and gave me drink? They asked two questions. When did we see this and do what you said? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed? So they're asking all these questions of him. Or when saw we the sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Well, be thinking about that. So how we respond to each other is a direct response to the king. Now, we wouldn't do certain things to the king if the king was present, but we don't have a problem doing it to each other because we feel like we just got the rights to. That's an issue. It's a hard issue. If the king, we'd act different. Folks act different. Sometimes you can have certain pastor or somebody in the room and folks act different. If they're able to make you act different, what about the king present? Somebody ought to say amen to old me. It's one of them. Let me come over here where they're smiling faces. The king, if he's present, we will act different. This is the way we are. We want to front it. And God says, listen, why about the king being there? What if it's Tyreek? How do you treat him? What about Mariana? How do you treat her? Because they are mine. And if you treat them that way, it's like treat me that way. That ought to make you fall in love with him because he cares that much for you. They're mine. Nicole's mine. However you treat her, that's mine. That's what he's saying. And he said, that's why we don't get that picture. Because if we did, we'd be different. We would. We wouldn't do what we do. We'd be different. And you never know that God put somebody in front of you for one time. It's just a one time, one chance, all you get. And what you do counts. What you say counts. You better be on your good day. You come out in the flat tires at the truck, and then you get your encounter. You going to bring that problem into that conversation? Or you going to say, I don't have time for this right now. Look what I got. Or you going to be what he wants you to be? Because that's what he's asking of us. So listen what he says. Really, I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you have done it to me. Verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand. Uh-oh. Depart from me, ye cursed. That's pretty harsh words. Depart from me, ye cursed, unto everlasting fire, prepare for the devil and his angels. Who's it prepared for? Not for you. It's not prepared for you. Because after all, he made sure that every person has a way. It's not prepared for you, never intended for you. Not once did he intend that for his people. Not once. For I was a hunger and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you took me not in. Naked and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison and you visited me not. Then they also answered him, saying, Master, when saw we thee a hunger and a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away unto everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. The what? The righteous. What makes a person righteous? Obeying God. Obeying God. You got to be obedient to God. What gets you into the ability to even be righteous? Christ alone. Remember that. Christ gives the way. That means it don't matter if you got money, if you don't have any money, don't matter who you know, has nothing to do with that. If you want to accept Christ, there's no restriction in this place or any point in your life. You don't have to be in a certain place. You don't have to be at a church. You don't have to do it with a pastor. If you want to accept Christ, you got to yield your members to him. You got to say, I'm yours. And you got to mean it in your heart. So you understand it with your own mind. I just made a commitment. Everybody knows about commitments. You made a commitment. Once you make that commitment, then you read the text. You read this biblical narrative. You look at the scripture, and whatever God asks for you to do, you obey that. That is what gets you eternal life. I mean, thank God for that. So I'm just giving you some simplified ways about being saved. Well, let's look at Luke 6, verse 46. He says this. Now, we're talking about, remember, that we're dealing with whether or not we should have some work involved. Remember last week I talked about faith with works? He said, you show me your faith without works, I'll show you my faith by my work. Remember that? Very important. So watch this Luke. Luke 6, 46. And why call ye me master, master? Who's the speaker? Jesus is the speaker. He's saying, I got it in red so we understand it. Why call ye me master, master, or Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? How am I your master, but you don't do what I say? Very important. Valuable to understand. How many ever worked for somebody? Let me see your hand if you ever worked for somebody. It means you didn't own a company, they did, and you worked for them. Know what that means? You don't own it. So you got no rules. You work for them. So when you took the job, they're going to give you a handout. Most of them do. They give you a handbook of what they require. Some people read it. Some people wing it. It's like reading the Bible, trying to go to church. Did I say that? Some people read it. Some people wing it. This is a handbook. They give you the job. And you say, I'm so happy. I've been waiting. I need this job so bad. They give you the handbook, and you go through the handbook, and it tells you what you can and can't do. It tells you what they expect of you. What's going to be your vacation time? It gives you a whole list. Well, you go in there and you say, well, you know, they said, did you read the handbook on the first day? Yeah, I went over, I breezed over it. But I ain't doing none of those things. The boss of that company is going to go, well, listen, you ain't going to work here. Well, say you didn't have that conversation and you just started working. And you decided during the while you're working, at first, man, you were wide open. You was there. When the time you punched in ahead of every time, everybody. And then you said, well, I'm so good. I can run this company myself. I'm the boss. Then you're walking around and you say, you know, this is my company. Is that going to work? Not going to work. Because the guy who started the thing, the president, the CEO, whatever, he started the thing. He's going to come and say, excuse me. Let's just get this straight. And that's what people do serving God. Well, don't read the handbook because it's too big. It's got stuff in there I don't even understand. So we come over to the church and we say, well, you know what? We're just going to do it this way. How many of you know it never works that way? It never works. We've got to read the handbook. Well, we're going to get in this series here next week. And it's going to be the words of Jesus, everything he said. It's going to be a long series. Long. It's going to take a long time. Because we're going to study everything he said. Kind of one of them first things you should do. He's going to be your master. He's the boss. Nobody. We don't like using that word, right? Nobody's my boss. You marry? You got bosses. If you work for somebody, there's a boss. This is what it is. You come to church, there's regulations, there's rules. You got to prepare yourself for that. Can I keep living the way I've been living? Well, you shouldn't. Not if you're asking him to give you. No, we're not talking about a check every week that we could spend and live week to week. We're not talking about that's not the payment. You get eternal life. That's got to mean something to you. You get eternal life. That's amazing. And so we ought to want to do something. Now watch this verse again. Why call ye me master, master, that I'm your boss, and do not the things which I say? Very important scripture. That's something you ought to think about a lot. We ought to do what he says. Psalms 50, verse 16. But unto the wicked, Elohim said, why, what hast thou to do to declare my statute, and that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth? So it's a great question. Seeing thou hatest instruction, and castest my words behind thee. Isn't that something? You don't like to be told to do anything. And my instructions, you just cast them behind you. What happens if you go to work for somebody and you take that position? What's going to happen to you? Somebody shout it out so I can hear you. You get what? You get fired. Then you can go home and tell everybody how they wrongly fired you, whatever you want to do. But the fact is, you got rid of you because you didn't follow the handbook. But it's amazing in the church, We think we could do whatever we want. Don't follow the handbook. Don't receive the instruction. See, and thou hatest instruction. We don't want to be nobody telling me what to do. Listen, if you're alive, you're going to be told what to do. It's just part of it. You got responsibility. When I got married, I couldn't say, well, nobody's going to tell me what to do. I'm just going to be live single. You married. You got little ones. They're going to look at you. They expect to be fed. They expect to be clothed. They expect to have a house to live in. You have a responsibility to your wife and your family. There's bosses. And you ought to respect that. Same thing serving God. It's no different. We sang that song, my life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself. Really? How many sign up and say, Lord, whatever you want? Well, let me tell you something. One of the things I had to do, and this is 30 plus years, I had to say, you know what? You're the boss. I'm going to follow this handbook. And I'm going to do what you asked me to do. There's been times in that time that I didn't understand everything he said. So I just done whatever I thought was that I needed to do. Then he realized, he says, no, is that what I said? God will give you opportunity to make corrections if you keep your heart humble. And he'll keep you even in your falters. He's not out to get nobody. He don't want to, he said, I would. If you want to know what I want, you know what God said? He said, I would none perish. He said, I would every person sow to the Spirit. That's what I would. But he knows that doesn't happen. But today we can. I hope today you came and say, you know what? I'm going to sow to the Spirit. Hosea chapter 8, verse 12. I'm just pointing out a few verses. If you're interested in studying more about this, you can go and look it up for yourself. But this is some of the verses that stood out to me. Hosea chapter 8, verse number 12. I have written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. It's a great verse. The prophet Hosea come out and he's prophesying about, you know, you want God, you want God, you want God, but he's written to you. He's written to you of great things of the law. Things that you read these things will give you life. Life. But they were counted as strange things. Strange things. Isn't that something? Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1 verse 15. Unto the pure all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. Think about that. The mind and the conscience. The mind and the conscience is defiled. They profess that they know Elohim. They know God. But in works, they deny Him. Remember that? Now, how many see what we're up against? Because we say that for salvation, works is not there. And that's true. How many understand Paul's going to have a difficult time explaining this? Salvation is by Christ and what he did at Calvary. That way it's equally across the board. Don't matter what family you're born to, doesn't matter rich or poor, it doesn't matter. If you want to be saved, you can be because Christ paid for it in full. After salvation, that's what I want to talk to you for a little bit. After salvation, what do we do? Do we do what we want? Live like we want, act like we want. Well, we shouldn't, because now we're saved. What do? We want to obey Him. We want to obey His words, what He said, what He proclaimed. I used to follow a different handbook, but now I got His handbook. I mean, see, that's important in serving God. Very important. They profess that they know Elohim, but in works, notice that word, in works, they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work, reprobates. And to every good work, in other words, there's things you should be doing as a believer, we become a reprobate to that. We don't want to even be involved in it. I look at this stuff, and it's simple. I read the handbook, and I'm like, this is simple. If I want to stay in a position where God's speaking and dealing with me, giving me words of understanding, encouragement, opening my eyes to understanding, I got to do what He says. If I don't, then I can just kind of be a part of it. I can superficially serve God. I can tell myself, I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. Or I can do what he says. Remember that. Very, very important. And this will help you, it'll keep you. Verse 10 of Galatians 6. We're going to wrap this up. Verse 10, Galatians 6. And we have therefore opportunity. Galatians 6, 10. And we have therefore opportunity. Let us do good unto how many men? All men. Notice that. All men. So we have a responsibility as believers to do good to how many men? All men. This is not gender restraint here. It's women and men. It doesn't matter. It's the human race. What's our responsibility as believers? Do good to? Just the ones we like? The ones who attend our church? Are you hearing me? That you're going to get that chance. You get that chance. Just save people. Just say we ain't going to help nobody unless they're saved. That's what he said. No, he said all people. Don't matter if you're saved. Don't matter if they're right. We should extend ourselves to whoever it is. Doesn't matter where they live, where their background is, their ethnicity. None of that matters. He said we're to do good to all men. Why? Because that's what Christ did. There was no restriction. He gave everybody an equal chance. But he says especially. Let me see that word. Especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Especially to those. You should have special attention to those. Now you can overly be showing attention just to those and not neglect to do the other. You see that? So we have to be what God asks us to be. Brother Herman exhorted us last night about that we're beacons. You never know who you're going to run into. It's not your job. It's not your business. It's what you do, but it's not yours. Remember, we're kingdom-minded. We're here to deliver the message of the Lord. First and foremost, that's the goal. You get up in the morning, I'm going to deliver the message. Sure, you might go out and get a paycheck for it, but if that's what you're doing it for, we missed the whole point. We're missing this. You never know who it's going to be. And I can't emphasize that enough. I try to. I know some of these guys say, man, this is what you got to do. And you have to do it year after year consistently. You have to be that way because you don't know. You have no idea who it's going to be. And I've watched these guys. You've witnessed that. You have to be ready at all times because you don't know when it's going to come up to all men. Now, secondly, the responsibility, especially to them at the household of faith. If we don't know how to act with each other, we're missing the whole point. We'll never act that way with the world. And that's important. So it doesn't matter if you say, it's easier to stop. Oh, I know that person. I'm going to help that person. What if you don't know them? What about people you meet for the very first time? What are you going to do? You're going to deny the Holy Spirit that he gives an unction inside of you that you got to do something? You can't deny that. I hear you talk about these stories. You don't deny. You don't know who they are. You don't know what they're going to do. It doesn't matter. Does it really matter? But you should take the opportunity to extend. Remember when we was in Kentucky? We stopped at an exit. Just an exit. It's an exit. We stop there all the time. You pull off on the side of the road. You pull at the gas station. You need fuel. We're getting fuel, and I'm pumping in our truck, and I see commotion next door to us. And I notice that that's not right. Something's not right here. I look at the front tire. It's about flat. I don't know who these people are, but I look in the back. They got a baby in the car seat. This is a commotion going on. They're in trouble. So I leaned over and said, hey, can I help y'all with anything? You see, it's all about opportunity. Now, I don't know where they say. I don't know. The Bible says all men. That's my responsibility. It just became my responsibility. I was made aware of it by Holy Spirit. I saw what was going on, and I said, can I help y'all? And here they go talking about they need money. Well, you done heard them stories 1,000 times. Well, guess what? Everybody needs money. I'm here to try to get you to understand that there's something else you need, and I'm about to share that with you. Let me tell you what you really need. And I began to share the gospel with them. And the woman, I was in her window, and the guys there. And I can tell, man, they were on it. Not my first time seeing it. But she began to weep. And I said, God had us stop exactly in the same exit to meet a need for you, because he's trying to let you know how much he cares about you. He cares about both of you. He cares about these babies. He cares for you. He loves you. There's no randomness to this. It's not random. It's orchestrated. It's detailed. It's fine-tuned by Holy Spirit to the very minute. 5 minutes later, we'd have missed them. You see, orchestrated, detailed. Brother Josh come out, we got to say, we're going to pray for you. And the Lord moved on him to do something. He moves on people. They don't say anything. There's no, you don't have to say, hey, have a huddle, huddle up. What you think we should? Whatever the Lord's saying, we got to be obedient to all men. Now, what happens when you practice that? You're not going to have a problem when it comes, especially to those who are the household of faith. It'll become natural to you. It's something that we should take into consideration and look at. Verse 11. Ye see how large a letter I have written unto you with my own hands. Now, this is literal. I don't have time to go into the details of this, but Paul, we know that. Remember we talked about if it were possible, he said in Galatians, you would give me your own eyes. That's how much they loved Paul. There was a reason that they would feel like giving him their eyes, because his eyes were terrible. So he says, see, and I've written how large a letter I've written unto you with my own hands. As many as desire to make a fair show unto the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised. Now, it's coming to the end, so what does he do? He takes them all the way back to the beginning. Because coming to the end of Galatians, he's going to take them all the way back to the beginning. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh. What's they trying to show? The flesh. Where did the flesh get you? Remember Hagar? The two covenants? One genders to what? Flesh. The other's by the Spirit. Very important. Why is it that way? Why does God make it that way? Because it's fair. Some people are stronger. They have a different disposition. They have a stronger will. They have a strong will. So you can take, for example, maybe somebody has an addiction. And some person has a strong will. They can say, I'm done. And they're done. There's no praying or anything. It's just they're done. They have a strong will. Then they got a person who has a weak will. They try it. Oh, they done like 50 times in the same day. And their will's not there. What Christ says, I take the will out. I'm a savior, whether your will is strong or not. All you got to do is call upon me and you will be saved. Isn't that amazing? Now, here's where your will comes in. After that, you have to have a strong will. And if your will is weak, he has scripture, he has people who will come alongside of you to help you through that and be understanding until you get where you need to be. Very important. Valuable. That's why we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together like some do. This is important. We come together because together, now we get a chance to worship together. We've been worshiping independently all week. Now we get a chance to do it together. We come here, we worship, we see each other, and we encourage each other. Very important to understand. As many as you desire to make a fair show of the flesh, they constrain you to be what? Circumcised. Putting you under bondage. You'll be a better person if you get circumcised. Not what the scripture said. Only least they should suffer persecution for the stake or the cross of Messiah. Very important. Because we got to understand the cross of Messiah is a value to understand. Now watch what he said in verse 13. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law. What? I thought that was part of the law. It's part of the law, no doubt. But he says, they get circumcised, but they don't even keep the commandments of God. It's one of the things that he says, but they don't do it. Think about that. For neither they themselves keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. Saying to a person, if you become like me, That's what the Pharisees were doing. And part of being like them would be the circumcision of the flesh. And Paul says, absolutely not. It's not so. Not so. In order to be saved, you must accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. What he paid for at the cross, the stake, what he done at the stake was the finished work. It's what finished your, for the plan of your salvation. Now you come into salvation. Now you're in it. What do I do? Obey, obey, obey. Now you have a master. Very important. Well, you're going to be obedient to the master, and the one thing you're going to fight is not other people. You're going to fight yourself. Whether or not you're going to bring yourself under those that restraint that he gives. And it's not a restraint to be Lord over us. It's to keep us in salvation. It's to keep us in that, because you can lose it. There's no doubt about it. That they may glory in your flesh. And that's what they wanted to do. Verse 14. But certainly not that I should glory, save in the stake or the cross of Messiah, a Master Yeshua, Messiah, by whom the world is impaled unto, or crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Very, very important here. But certainly not that I should glory, save in the cross of Christ. Very important to understand. That's what he's saying. We have to make sure that we don't forget that's how salvation came and what Christ did. By whom the world is impaled or crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Verse 15. For in Messiah Yeshua, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. But what is he interested in? But a new creature, a new creation. That's what is important to the Messiah. That's valuable to him. And that's what Yahweh is all about. That's what he's saying. He's trying to tell us, what matters to me is that you take on being the new person. Why do we need that? What happened at the beginning? The first Adam failed in that he couldn't obey God when God says, thou shalt not eat of the tree that's in the middle of the garden. The day you eat of it, you shall die. Satan says, you won't die. That's the first lie. That's a lie. How do we know it's a lie? Has anybody ever been to a funeral? Does anybody know people that you love and you care about? What happened to them? They died. Because that's what happens to you. You're born, and all of a sudden you got your age is a slow path to death. That's what it is. It's to death. You don't keep regenerating and when you're born, you start little and you have a slow path to death. You can tell when you're getting older, you're not as agile anymore. You don't see as well. It's just different things. It kind of indicates that. It's true. But during that process, while you're headed to what's inevitable, it's appointed unto man wants to die, but after that, the judgment. What's inevitable is death. That's from the first Adam. But the second Adam came. I mean, thank God for the second Adam. The second Adam is also called the last Adam. It's Christ. It's what he did. It's the anointed one, the Messiah. The Hebrew word is Yeshua HaMashiach. Our Messiah. He's not just any Messiah. He's our Messiah. He's mine. What did he do? He says, I'm going to give you ability to be born again. Born again. Nicodemus, one of the priests, come to him at night. There's a reason he came to him at night, because he didn't want to be seen by his constituents, his people, that he was even talking with Messiah. So he went to him at night and he says, how can a man be born again when he's old? So he was thinking in the what? In the natural, all natural. Natural, natural, natural. What Christ was going to do is, I'm going to reveal the spirit realm to you right now. I'm going to let you know how important this is in the spirit realm. He said, unless a man be born of water and of spirit. Now that water there is not baptism water, and I don't have time to teach that, but that's not what he was saying. But he's letting us know, then it's you can't be born again. Because he said this, can a man enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? When you enter the womb, what you enter into? What is the baby encapsulated in? In water. It's in water. So Nicodemus said, can I enter the second time and get in that water again? He said, no, we're talking about something different. Christ says this at the woman at the well. He said, if you knew who was talking to you, you would ask me for living water. You know what she said? Give me that water, that I don't have to come back every day to this well. He said, I'm the living water. Think about that. I'm the living water. So when you get saved, you step into Christ. You get submerged. And we show that just on the outside. That's why that's not it. That's a resemblance of what it is, but it's not the initial thing what it is. So when you get in that, you step into Christ, you get cleansed with the washing of water by the Word. So this is not just called the bread of life. It's described as bread. It's also called the washing of water. It's water. Sometimes when you get dirty, it's not bread you need. You got to get your scripture out of here and get that mark off of you. It's just washes. And he said, when he washes you, it's white like snow. Isn't that amazing? So folks gonna plead their case. You know, I've heard people plead their case. Man, I'm so bad, you don't know how much I've done. And you got folks who just joust with each other about how bad they've been. It doesn't matter. The Bible says, though your sin's been as scarlet, you shall be made white like snow. It don't matter how bad. He didn't come just to the half bad, if there's such a thing. Three quarter bad. I ain't bad. I ain't hardly bad. I hardly did anything wrong with me. Like self-righteous bad. He come for all men, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How many? All of us. No matter who your family is, where you grew up, you can say, I've been in church all my life. I guarantee you sinned. Guarantee you did, and you need a Savior. I need a Savior. And He give us that. Amen? How many are excited about the Lord? This Galatians series is something. So He says, for in Yeshua, neither circumcision availeth nor uncircumcision, but a new creature being born again. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you. How do we know Paul was the writer? Just saying. Little help there. I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Messiah shall profit you nothing. Nothing. Because then you always say, it was because I did something in order for me to get saved. You can do nothing in order to be saved. The one thing you're required to do, if you want salvation, is accept it as it is. You can't change it. You can't alter it. You can't say, well, we get saved this way and they get saved that way. None of that works with God. You got to accept it as He wrote it, as He gave it to us. How many thank God that you came to know that? And so remember that. That's verse 5 and 2. We had read it earlier, but I had to put it there so you see both of them together. Verse 16. As many as walk according to this rule, peace be on you and mercy and upon all and upon the Israel of Yahweh. The Israel of Yahweh. How many thank God that we're the Israel of Yahweh? Very important. What does that mean? Because He started out with a people. He's going to finish with a people. That people is going to be mixed in their nationalities. Remember how many nations He had in front of Him? At the beginning of the first reading, how many nations was in front of Him? All nations. All nations were before the king. And He separated the sheep from the goat. Did He take sheep from just one nation? No. He took them from all nations. They were dispersed in all the nations. So, from verse 17, from henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of Master Yeshua. Now, this is a literal sense. Paul's saying, I bear in my body the marks of Yeshua. This man, if you was to derobe Paul, you would see the marks on his body where he was beaten and flagged. I mean, just terrible beatings. They beat him with rods, beat him with a cat of nine tails. He was put in stocks and chains. He was shipwrecked. He was, so many things happened to him. Beat, stoned. So he, when he says this, he means what he says. From henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of Master Yeshua. Why did he get all that? He said, because when I got the handbook, I read the whole thing, and it said something in the handbook that went like this. He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. I believe that. In the handbook. So I'm going to endure. And sometimes you go through some stuff. Sometimes you have difficulty in life, but you don't quit. You don't give up. You may even bear in your body the marks of that difficulty. But he's still God. How many understand that? And he said, if we're going to accept Christ as salvation, he said, we also have to accept him in his suffering. We got to be willing, sometimes, as hard as it may seem like we shouldn't deserve anything, sometimes we're going to suffer. We're going to go through hardship. But we should stay, keep the faith. Keep the faith. Hang in there. Paul talked about it like this. He said, I have fought the good fight of faith. I fought the good fight of faith. I've kept the faith. He said, I finished my course. Think about that. Everybody here has a course. Right before you have a course. You're going to be on that course. And you're on a course, you're being obedient. If you get off course, you can't go where you think you're going. You're off course. But everybody has a course set before you. You can live that out. It's your calling. It's your gifting. It's your talent. Do all preach? Do all prophesy? Do all operate in the gifts? His rhetorical questions when he's asking that. He said, we know not everybody does that. But whatever your course is, do it well. Do it with everything that's in you. Put your whole heart in it. I can tell you, it'll be a blessing to people. Brethren, the grace of our Master Yeshua Messiah be with your spirit. Amen. The grace of our Master Yeshua Messiah be with your spirit. Amen. Wow. That is the end of this Galatians series, part whatever. What was it? 50? Part 50. All right. So 50 parts to it. If you didn't get some of them, they all recorded. You can have them. Just go through it. If you're interested in listening to the book of Galatians, there it is. So that's, I don't know how many hours, over 50 hours of study. That's well, because most of the studies are over an hour. So I'm so glad to be finished with Galatians series, not because I was getting tired of it, because I want to get to the other part so bad that I can taste it. So here's the next series right here. Understanding the words of Jesus. Not just listening to them. Understanding the words of Jesus. And this is the verse of scripture that I put to give us this, why it's so important. John 6:63. It is the Spirit who gives life. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profited nothing. What does the flesh profit? Nothing. Then he gives this, and I underlined it. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. Notice that. So we're going to focus on the words of Jesus, what he said. Why? Because he said, the words I spoke to you our spirit, and our life. And so I hope that you're excited about this. This series will be longer than the last series, no doubt about it, because there's so much text that has to be covered. So it's going to be twice that long, probably, some thereabouts. But it would help. We could probably move it along. If we're doing an hour or 2 hours a week, if we get to doing it more than that, it'll really speed it up a little bit. But I want to invite everyone to be in these services. It's going to be incredible. It's going to be absolutely incredible. We want to give you an opportunity to be in each one of these services concerning understanding the words of Jesus. The first part, it is going to go along the birth narrative. So I'll cover that. It was no plan for us doing that, but we're going to have to get him. We got to get him born before we can talk about what he said. So it goes along with this series. So we get him born, and that's going to be the first part. It's going to cover two big sections of Scripture talking about the birth narratives. And it just so happens it's in December. I wonder what will be said. Just wondering. Anyway, we'll talk about that when it comes. Today is a special day. Now, we're not finished with the service because today's a special day. It's an opportunity for us to just love on him and give him praise and see the wonderful things that God has done. So we're going to get everyone ready to go. We're going to get Dean and Holly to come. This is their